Okay, so this morning I wanted to start with a scripture that I'm sure you all know, from Matthew 5, verse 14. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And encouraging, Isaiah 58 speaks into that as well, doesn't it? I can just read. So, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. So, what is your light? You're all muted, so you can't answer. But the light in us is Jesus, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit living in us so that God can be glorified through us. And when you first read that scripture, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's tempting to look at it and, that they may see your good deeds, but it's not about that. It's not making our good deeds known to people. It's about letting our light shine, letting Jesus in us shine so that people can see him, so that when they notice the good deeds, the glory goes to him, because they're not seeing the good deeds we've done, but they're seeing the motivation behind the good deeds, why we're doing them, which is all for him, and the glory then goes to him. So it's not showing off our good deeds, but it's letting the light inside us, Jesus, Holy Spirit, shine out so that people can see him. Putting a light under a bowl is pretty ridiculous, isn't it? Nobody would turn a light on and then put a bowl over it so you can't see anything. But how many of us keep our faith to ourselves in situations? When we're talking to somebody and you might get a little word from the Holy Spirit that speaks into that, and yet we find it so difficult to share that and openly share our faith with others, which is shining our light. We have the answer, the gospel. Jesus is the answer to everything, and we have him, and yet we keep him hidden from people. We don't share him. We don't let him shine. So people need to see him in us, our motivation for the things we do. And then, of course, leading on to that, the things we do have to represent him, don't they? It's no good letting him shine through us when we're doing stupid things or bad things. That's not what it's about. And again, going back to Isaiah 58, there's a whole list of things there that, the things we should be doing, so that he can be glorified through us. There's another scripture in John 17, where Jesus is talking about his disciples, but also about us, where he says they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. And over the years, I've come across various people who take that scripture, "We are not of the world," and they think that we shouldn't be part of anything that goes on in the world. We should separate ourselves from everything. Well, when I was a very young Christian, the church I was attending, we did an outreach in a village just outside the town, and we were going door to door. We were sharing the gospel. We were trying to pray for people if they wanted to be prayed for. We were handing out some leaflet or other. I can't remember what it was. And we were going down through the village. And when we got to the pub, I was about to go into the pub with my handful of leaflets, and the people with me said, "Oh, you can't go in there." And I thought, "Well, why not?" I was a new Christian. I'd read the Gospels, but I hadn't heard all the teaching that said we shouldn't go into pubs and we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that. So I was just ready, there's people in there who need to know him. Let's go in and share him. But as it turned out, I was the only one who went in because the others wouldn't come in with me. And looking back on that now, I find that quite sad, because those are the sort of places that Jesus would have gone to. And we're meant to do the things that Jesus did, and he spent his time with tax collectors and sinners, didn't he? But the people I was with, they thought, "We're not of the world. We can't associate with the world, because we'll pick up the things, the bad things, will influence us rather than the good things in us influencing them. So there was a fear there that that stopped them going in into those places. But the verse before, it's John 17, 16, where it says, "They are not of the world as I am not of it." But the verse before, verse 15, it says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." So you only have to go back one verse and it flips the whole thing around. We're not to withdraw from the world, we're not to separate from the world. But Jesus' prayer is that we're protected from the evil one. So when we go into those places, we can affect the atmosphere and not be affected by it. And I just love that, because that was my heart back then, and it's still my heart today. that we go into these places and we affect them. I was listening to Chris Vallotton the other day, one of the Bethel sermons, and he was saying that he grew up during the time of the Jesus movement. And during that time, everybody separated from the, they didn't get into business and they didn't get into politics, because they focused on being a community, a Jesus community, separated from the world. And he was saying, if you look back now at that period, all the businesses and the politics that came out of that period, they didn't have any Christian influence in them, because the Christians had separated themselves. So during that, a lot of bad things happened during that period, and a lot of the big immoral businesses that grew up starting from that period. And it really made me think, we really shouldn't be separated from the world. We should be in the world and influencing the world and not separate. We can separate and pray for them, but really we need to be in there shining our light in the world, don't we? Matthew 5 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." So he's saying, we're the salt of the earth. But salt is a preservative, isn't it? And it's also a, it's either a flavor, depends how you look at it, it's either a flavor or a flavor enhancer. But it needs to be integrated into the substance to affect it. So when it says we are the salt of the earth, we need to be in the world. We need to be mixed up with them and affecting things and bringing a kingdom perspective into everything that we can. And when we separate, we can't do that. We leave them to go their own way. And we're praying for them to change, but we're not actually doing anything other than praying. We could be in there helping to chart the course of businesses or councils or committees and things like that. So I feel this year I'd like to encourage everybody to sort of get involved in community things, get involved in the things that perhaps we've shied away from in the past, so that we can bring kingdom principles into worldly things. And that, because that's one way of bringing his kingdom, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom is in us. And as we get involved in the things of the world, we can bring his kingdom into those areas. We can change the atmosphere. We can change decisions that are made. If we can't, we can at least put the perspective forward and make people think. Last week Akin was talking about us being kings and priests, which I really felt spoke into this as well, because as priests we minister to God, we intercede for others. It's all the prayer side of things, if you like. But as kings we rule with him, and he's called us to rule. So we need to get involved in things on the earth to bring his kingdom principles, so that we can rule those things. We need to be in there demonstrating God's power, demonstrating God's virtues, God's goodness, because the people who don't know him are guiding things as best they know how, but in the wrong direction. And if we can bring God's perspective, his goodness, his virtues, and his power, we'd love to bring his power into situations, wouldn't we? We can bring those into everyday situations. We can really change the way things move, the decisions that are made, you know, in the country, in the world. The scope is enormous, really. And while I was praying about that, I thought, well, how do we do that? You know, do we, especially in prayer, we're very quick to bind things. But I felt God saying there's so much more power in loosing things. And the whole thing about your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we're loosing the things of God into the world. We need to get into the world and loose the things of God into the world. Whereas I feel in the past we spent a lot of time separating ourselves from things and binding them. I want to encourage people to get involved in things and loose the things of God into those situations. You know, an example we've used many, many times is if you're in a pitch black room and you have a tiny little candle, it can light the whole room. Yeah, you don't need much light to break through the darkness. The opposite isn't true. If you have a room filled with light and you go in with a little box of darkness, you're not going to have much effect. As soon as you open the box, you've lost it. But we have the light. You know, wherever we walk, we bring his light into situations. And we need to loose his kingdom into those situations. So, and just bring the things of the kingdom into earth. That's my vision for this year, really, is to see the kingdom loosed, and we're the ones to do it, you know. I looked at the Lord's Prayer, and I looked at the things that Jesus did when he was on the earth, and there's very little binding and cursing. I know he cursed the fig tree, but he spent most of his time blessing and healing and loosing the things of the kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God is here, or is near, he said, but it's here now. And it's so near to all of us and near to everybody that we just need to loose it. Rather than trying to fight the enemy, we just need to loose the kingdom of God. The enemy is darkness, and we're the little candle in the corner. But, you know, it wouldn't take much to turn us into a raging fire. So if you imagine what a little candle does in a dark room, imagine what a raging fire could do to the politics of England. You know, of so many applications. You know, Matthew 9:37 says, "The harvest is plentiful. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers." Well, we're the workers, guys. We're the workers. We need to be engaged in the fields, so that when the harvest is ready, we're there to bring it in. You know, if we're not out there, if we stay together in little huddles, then we're not going to affect the world. We're not going to see the harvest. It might be out there, it might be ready, but we're not there to reap. So we need to be moving out into things. I want to challenge us all, I think, this year, is to look at our circle of friends, our circle of contacts, and just think of how many of them know Jesus, and how many of them need to know Jesus. And I think a lot of us will find that most of our friends know Jesus, and my challenge is that we need to increase the number of contacts we have who don't know Jesus, so that we can shine our light. A little candle in a very bright room is not going to be seen. You can shine your light as much as you want, But if there's a floodlight in the room already, you're not going to make much difference. But if you go into a dark room, it doesn't matter how small your candle is, how small your faith is, if you've got a mustard seed, it will light up the room. So I want to invite everybody this year to get involved in the community, get involved in clubs, in councils, in committees, neighborhood watch groups, anywhere where there are non-Christians. Let's try and get involved so that we can bring the kingdom principles into what's going on in the world, so that we can let our light shine before others, that they may see the good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. And that it's a challenge. And if we think, how can we do that? We're no good at this, we're no good at that. Just one more scripture from Samuel, chapter 18. In everything David did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. I want you to hold on to that. And if ask God to drop into your mind, drop into your heart, what could you get involved with? And when the enemy says to you, oh, you can't do that, you'll be no good at that, just remember Samuel 18, verse 14. In everything you do, you will have great success because the Lord is with you. Yeah, so 2021, let's go out there and let our light shine. Amen. Amen.